We've got three different places to jump through today, so I'll give you a little bit of time in between each one to be able to flip over to your pages. We start with Matthew 7, 3 through 5. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take that speck out of your eye," when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll at least see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We move now to Ephesians chapter 4, 26 and 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And our third reading, we move to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Here ends the readings.
Thanks, Alicia. Good morning, everyone. So it's been a good week for me, honestly. Kind of a great, no, honestly it has, a great kind of synopsis of how God works. So like 2 weeks ago, I injured my knee and just waiting. What will the doctors, will I ever meet one? All those kinds of things. And then in this sudden rush, we have a neighbor who works with an orthopedist and so got me in to see him pretty fast after the MRI was done, and saw him Thursday, and by Thursday afternoon he had me back for a pre-op, and by tomorrow I'll have a whole new knee, so that'll be exciting, good news for me. So that's where I am. I'll be out all of next week, lying on my couch trying to keep my swelling down, but hopefully after that I'll be able to be moving back again. So appreciate again your prayers and thoughts about those things. But we are, for now, trying to dig into this idea of boundaries. I'm going to preach standing up here because that'll make it go faster for you. Once my leg gets tired, then I'll have to sit down. So it's a win-win for you. I want to encourage you again, as we go through this series especially, that being a part of this every week is really, really helpful for you. If you miss a week for whatever reason, all this is online. But we build on each other. These ideas and concepts will continue to build. So if you miss, you'll kind of be behind a little bit. So I want to start with where we were last week and kind of pick up from there. We talked about boundaries and gave this idea of these two different metaphors of a backpack and a boulder. So a backpack are the things that we carry ourselves, right? No one has to carry your backpack or your purse for you. That's what you are responsible for on your own. So just some quick shouts out from you. What are some things that fit in your backpack? Did you think about that this week? Was there anyone that thought, here's something that goes in my backpack? What? Chocolate? Thank you, Vera. Yes. Although you can share that too. If it's too much chocolate and it's a boulder, you're welcome. I'll help carry that for you. The things that you say, yeah, the words that come out of your mouth, that's your own backpack. You're responsible for those things. Yeah, what are some other things? Emotions fit within there too, yeah? Yeah, the daily responsibilities, your schedule that you have in the day, the time that you have, yeah, all of those things fit within there. Boulders are the things that Galatians encourages us to share together, to carry each other's boulders or burdens. What are some of those things? Grief. Grief is a significant boulder that should not be carried alone. Maybe emotional pain? Yeah. That's along the lines of the grief, those kinds of things there too. Knee surgery, what was this? Physical disabilities, yeah, you can keep talking about me all you want. It's totally fine. I want you to see this is really, really broad. Like, so for my kids that can't drive, getting to somewhere they want to be, to a friend's house, to a dance, to whatever, that's a boulder. right? They can't walk there. They can't get there. They need help to get there. So it's not always these huge life-shattering kinds of things. It's just the reality that there are some things in life that are bigger than just me. If you have something that's troubling for you at work and you can't quite figure it out, maybe it's time to admit it's a boulder and I need to get someone to engage on that with me. Right? So I think these ideas, though, of what's a boulder and what's a backpack are really, really helpful for us. I know in our family, we use that a lot this week. I hope that you continue to use those words just to recognize, oh, that's in your backpack. I don't have to carry that for you. I can pray for you and care for you about that, but I don't have to carry it myself. Today, what I want to do is just give us a big overview tour of our backpack and a sense of what it means to have boundaries. In the weeks after this, we'll dig into a lot of specifics, a lot of those kinds of things. That's why for this week you have all of those fill-in-the-blanks back there again, because I don't want you to miss one of these. I think all of them are really important for us to learn. So I'll encourage you to fill those things in so we get all that information down, have a good solid sense of what it is and I'm responsible for, what it is that I carry on my own, and a sense of those things. So we'll kind of make our way through that. What I thought would be a helpful metaphor, though, was the idea that when you go to school, right, you start off the school year, you have a list of all these supplies that need to go in your backpack. So it's like, oh, that's a nice metaphor. Like, here's all the supplies that fit in your backpack. To be ready and prepared for life, these are the things that you carry with you. I thought it was a nice metaphor. So when I was Googling, like, backpack, school supplies, and a whole lot of things around that to look for that image, this next image, you can go to that, Marie, came up over and over again. I don't know why this is all yellowed out on that. I'm sure we have to replace the bulbs at some point, maybe soon. It was fine earlier. We'll figure it out at some point. It looks a little bit less appetizing here, but it's these monster cookies with all these kinds of bits of candy and everything stuck on top of them. I do not know which school has those for their list of school supplies, but I'm willing to go back to third grade if we can find it. So I don't know why it was there, but every time I looked, that picture showed up under school supplies. So somehow they got it into Google search. We'll go to the next picture then and begin to look at our backpack. Remember, Proverbs 4 encourages all of us to guard our own heart. And this is the stuff that's in our backpack. This is what God wants you to guard. He says, protect it, put boundaries around it, take care of it, so that you're in the best possible ability to have relationships with others. So here is the stuff that's in our backpack that we want to guard. The very first thing that comes into our backpack that's the most obvious, that begins at the earliest stage of our life, is our own skin and our body. Right? That's what we learn even as infants, separates us from other people. It's a big kind of dividing line that occurs within there. It is the primary boundary that we have. Physical and sexual abuse destroys that boundary. So anybody who has experienced physical or sexual abuse probably will have a hard time with boundaries across the board because it's such a foundational one. So we just need to recognize together. They'll figure out if it comes down. If not, I'll fill in the blanks for you. We'll figure our way through this, right? But we need to understand together that this is really, really clear. That your body is your own and nobody can touch it if you do not give them permission. And nobody can force you to do something with your body that you do not want to do. Right? We just need to make that abundantly clear on any level where that is. And even for kids, sometimes we do that. Like, oh, go give your uncle a hug. Go give him a kiss. Like, even those things can confuse boundaries for children. They should be able to decide with their own body how they respond. Right? To try to force them into that confuses their own sense of what their boundaries are. And so our own skin, our own body, really, really essential boundary to have all the way through. Feelings, I think Rana mentioned that one, is our second boundary area that we want to look at. So my feelings are a boundary. Ephesians 4 expresses it this way. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Whose anger is it? It's my own. Right? And then it says, do not let the sun go down on your own anger. Whose responsibility is it to resolve the anger before the sun goes down? It is my own. It doesn't mean that anger is wrong. There's appropriate places for anger to come out. It's an example of any emotion, but when you have an emotion, it is your emotion. It comes about because of you. right? And you have the responsibility to either celebrate, enjoy, and live in it, or choose not to. But the consequences and everything that comes with that, if you want to stay in your anger past the time the sun goes down and live in it for a few days, or a few years, or a few whatever, that's your own choice. It's your own prison that you've chosen for yourself. No one has forced you into that place. Right? So really, again, valuable language for us to learn, that nobody makes you feel anything. Those are the choices that you have on your own to feel those kinds of things. The third area in our backpack, skin and body, our own feelings, is our attitudes, our beliefs, and our thoughts. Right? Those are our own as well. I was reading just from my own devotions in Genesis 18. God comes to Abraham and Sarah again and says, I'm going to give you a kid. Sarah's like 90 at this point, and she laughs. She's hiding in a tent. Maybe you remember this story. And God comes and says, why did you laugh? And Sarah's like, I didn't laugh. He says, no, you really did. Right? It's you need to own your own belief, your own thought. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but you can't brush it off and say it's either not there, it wasn't really me, someone else brought that on me. This is my own, don't deny it. This is the thought that went on in my head. Right? This is a part of who I am. These are my attitudes, these are my beliefs. We are alone responsible to change that. So Alicia read for us Matthew 7, verses 3 through 5, that talked about these eye problems that we have, right? I mean, you either have splinters in your eye, you have logs in your eye. We recognize that it's not a problem for an ophthalmologist. It's not a problem for a surgeon to kind of take a look at. It's a metaphor for these thoughts and ideas that are in our head, right? And our ability to go look and pick in someone else's boundaries and say, I see some inappropriate thoughts in your boundaries, doesn't mean you can't ever do that, but it means that, first of all, recognize that you're responsible for the thoughts that are in your own head, the judgments that you have, the attitudes and the beliefs that occur inside of your own head. You are responsible for that. If they're going to change, if you're ever going to remove the log, who's going to remove it? You are. So there's, again, that reality that my own thoughts, I can't blame on someone else. You know, this is how I was raised. This is what I learned from an early age. Yes, sometimes our thoughts and beliefs are very, very long term and are really, really hard to even discern because they've been present with us for decades and decades and decades. But there's not an excuse that says, I was just raised this way. I can't do anything else. The thoughts and beliefs you have are your own thoughts and beliefs. You are responsible for those. Forgiveness is a great example of this. Right, so often we want to tie forgiveness into someone else's actions, someone else's boundaries, someone else's responses on some level. Like, I'll forgive when I see you feeling sorry. I'll forgive when you begin to change. But forgiveness is a belief. It is a thought inside your head. Right, and it's entirely within your own boundaries. When someone else sins against you or wounds you, you are responsible for forgiveness. It doesn't depend on how they respond back. It doesn't depend on whether they're nice or repentant or never do that again. That's your own responsibility. Their actions are their own outside of that thing, but not to confuse those boundaries together, but to recognize that when I offer forgiveness, that's my own thought, my own belief and attitude about how this relationship will go. Right? So that stays within my own boundaries. I am responsible for that. The fourth area that fits in our backpack is my own behavior and my own choices. What I do with my life, the choices that I make in life, all of those fit within my own backpack. Some of those things we're going to dig into more next week, so that's on the next week topic. We'll dig into that a whole lot more. But that idea that I had to do that, unless you happen to be a slave or a victim of kidnapping, you don't have to do anything. Right? It's a choice, and you have responsibility for that. She made me do that, or they made me do that. It's not true. Like, all of those are this confusion of boundaries that strips power away from us, that tries to put the blame and responsibility on others. When you have boundaries, yes, you have responsibility. So if you don't want responsibility, it's going to be hard on you. But it's also the place where you have your own identity, and you have your own power and ability to make a difference in the world. These things are part of having these identities. So having my own choices and being able to make those means that I have this power in the world around me. I'm not modified or controlled by other people around me, by their thoughts, by their desires. Sometimes we make choices based on guilt. Might I feel guilty about other stuff, therefore I choose this. Or I want to gain the approval of others, therefore I make these choices in my life. All of those things, again, are trying to let go of all of your boundaries and letting somebody else come in and take over that. So 2 Corinthians 9, that Alicia again read for us, said that when I give, God encourages us to give not out of compulsion or not out of shame, not out of fear of what other people will notice, right? How does he want that giving, which is a choice, right? When you give financially, that's a choice or a behavior that you have. What does Paul want that to be, right? My own free will. This is my own identity, so that when you get your giving statement, if you're doing taxes, you can go back and look at that. It's not blaming someone else like, oh God, if only this had been different, I would have done something different in my life. If only this had been that way, I might have done something different. I really want to be a better giver. You are just the giver that you are. Right, that's the boundary that you have, the choices that you make with the money that you have made. And that identifies who you are. And again, that may be hard on us because we want to get out of those things, but that's what boundaries are about. This is the person that you've chosen to be over this past year and the choices that you've made. It's not out of compulsion. We don't blame someone else. Oh, I feel really guilty if I don't. Those things are inappropriate boundaries, right? We're trying to put the blame on another person outside of recognizing my choices, my behavior are all a part of me. Values and desires. My values and desires are the fifth area that we have inside of our own backpack. This means that what we want and hunger for out of life is not determined by others. A lot of us, maybe when we're young, and as we grow up, begin to say, I want to be the person that my parents want me to be. I want to be the person that my spouse wants me to be. I want to have the values that they have. I want to desire the things that they want so that I'm liked. Again, it's missing our own values and boundaries. We talked about boundaries being this place that defines ourselves. If you don't know what you honestly desire without any other input from others, then you don't know yourself. Again, it may not be totally perfect. It's not that every desire you have is legitimate and awesome. But you won't know who you are unless you can identify those things. So Ephesians, good work back there. I don't know what you guys did, but we got it back. Good job. And honestly, I mean that. Like, you guys notice when it goes down and it goes bad and that's frustrating. You don't notice all the hundreds and thousands of times it works perfectly. So I appreciate the whole team back there that works on those. Thank you, Marie. So Ecclesiastes 11. Encourages you, invites you to says, be happy and follow the ways of your heart. Right? Acknowledge what your own desires are and find those kinds of things. We're not quite there. We can go back a little bit more, Marie. We're back under values and desires in your backpack. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, a little bit past where Alicia read, says, ask, seek, and knock. Right? Come after God and say, here are the things that I desire. Here are the things that I hunger for in life. Again, he may not give them all to you. Not every desire you have is legitimate. But to give space for yourself to say, this is what I hunger for, what I value in life, what I want, is to say, this is who I am. It's to know yourself. The martyr who never has space for their own desires or their own wants loses sight of who they actually are. We can't know ourselves unless we actually have this ability to know what it is that we desire. So that's a part of our own boundaries. The sixth area is our talents, our time, and our energies. All right, so within our own backpack is our talents, time, and energies. We talked about the chores that we have, all those kinds of things. What you've done with your time in this last week is your own backpack. What you'll do in this next week is your own backpack. It's not anybody else's, it's your own. Right, sometimes we say, again, I just don't have time. I don't have enough time. If only I had more time, I would do this. All of those things are not legitimate statements. You have time. Until you die, you have time. Time is the amazingly great equalizer. Doesn't matter how rich or poor you are, how smart or less intelligent you are, you get the same time everybody else gets. And it's your choices that determine that, right? But that's your own backpack. To say, I don't have time, is to say someone else has control over the things that I should have control over. How much you've invested in your marriage is your own sense of time and energy. How much you've invested in your job and your schoolwork, that's your own time and energy. Your own talents and abilities that you put forth. And we should rightfully have responsibility for these things. In Matthew 25, we have this great parable of this master giving out talents. It's such a fun word out of the Greek because it actually means money, but talents mean something different for us. And so it's an easy way to kind of segue to recognizing that God has placed talents, not of the financial kind, although that's true as well, inside each one of us. And as the story goes on, at some point we're all held accountable for what we've done, right? It's your own backpack. You can't blame it on someone else. Like, I was just afraid I might screw up, so I never wanted to try anything. God says it's your backpack. What you do with the energy you have, the time that you have, all of that is your own. Right, so here is this sense, beginning at your own skin and your own body, moving through your feelings and your thoughts, your behaviors and choices, the values and the desires that you have, and your own sense of talents and time and energy. All of that is what encompasses your own backpack. That is what is what you're asked to guard and protect, to have solid boundaries around. When you have good boundaries around that, you become a free and a strong individual, able to enjoy life and able to be a blessing to others around you. It's a rich place to be. When you do not guard those places, you move into places of resentment, you move into places of frustration, you move into places of distance with others, shame, guilt, fear, all those things begin to dominate in your life. It is not a good place to be. And your impact on others is highly minimal because you let yourself be manipulated. And then you begin to act in manipulating ways toward other people because that's the model that we have. So it's so important to break out of this thing. I want to spend a little bit more time today, my leg is still strong, good news for us, on how we express boundaries. So as we move our way through the rest of this and dig into a lot of details, this is a basics of what it means to express boundaries and what are ways that we go around doing that, right? You can see the girl there with the backpack. That seems a little bit boundary-less, right? The zipper on the backpack is there to enforce that boundary, to say what's in my backpack gets to stay. If it's that wide open, it doesn't take a whole lot of movement or life for things to begin to fall out of your backpack or for someone to put their hand in and take something out, which isn't legitimate, right? The boundary of the zipper is there to say what I put inside of there is my own. You don't get to mess around with my feelings. You don't get to determine how I feel. You don't get to determine what I choose or what I do with my body, right? The zipper's closed on that. So the ways that we can close that zipper or help strengthen those boundaries are, first of all, our own words. Matthew 5:37 says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. All right, so words are a primary way that we can express boundaries together. I recognize, because I've been there with my kids as well, that it's kind of frustrating when they get into the no stage, right, as toddlers, and like everything, they're just like, no, 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 no. And we just want to quash that, but honestly, that's a really good stage for them. It's the moment where as children, they learn that I have boundaries, and I can have some control over myself. So I want to encourage you that wherever possible, if you can allow them to say no, let them do it. Because it helps them have good boundaries. And honestly, that's true their whole life. If you're having a conversation with your spouse and they say no, if it's at all possible and helpful, allow them to have that boundary. If you're having a conversation with your teenager and they say no, or your 37-year-old kid, or your neighbor, or anyone else around you, if at all possible, if someone says no, if you can honor that and respect that, do that. Because those are boundaries and those are good things. If it has any legitimacy about it, and we'll dig into all those aspects more later, let those boundaries stay, right? Words allow us to be able to set those boundaries. People with poor boundaries struggle to say no. If you say yes to everything people ask you for in life, then you're not guarding your heart and your feelings and your time and all those other kinds of things. If you feel like your schedule is just out of control with all these commitments you've made to other people, then you have failed to have that boundary of no. Right, that ability to say, I need to think about that and decide, do I have space or time for that? Right, because these things just continue on. If assuming that you says no will wound a relationship permanently, I'm afraid to wound it, I don't want to say no to them, then again, you don't have good boundaries or good trust of those things. I had this rich experience Thursday where I was spending some time with a friend of mine, and he spoke back to me. He said, I need you to stop joking with me right now because I can't take any more. Did that destroy the relationship? No, I respect him more than I ever did before. But did I need to stop joking with him right then? Yeah. And it was really healthy for him to be able to draw that line and use his words to say, I need a boundary here. Because in my relationship and my heart right now, sometimes that can work, but right now it can't, right? So they can even be temporary, right? But here it is, and it's this great understanding. Here's where my heart is, here's where my feelings are, and that hurts, and I need you to step back, right? So our ability to use those words, not just to suck it up, like, oh, I don't want to say anything, I don't want to, you know, cause any trouble or whatever, is a failure of boundaries. So words are an essential place for boundaries to be developed. A physical space is another one. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man sees evil and he hides himself. He sees evil and he hides himself, right? He says, I know that's going to be trouble, so I'm going the other way. There's a ton of times that boundaries are really helpful along those lines, right? I see that there's going to be trouble in that relationship. If I hang out with that friend, if I'm in that setting, things will not go well for me. So I go to another setting. Right, if you know you have a problem with an addiction to gambling, don't go near any gambling opportunities. Right, if you have a problem with addiction to alcohol, give space around that. Right, those are good boundaries to have. In Matthew 14:13, Jesus just hears about John the Baptist's death. His cousin, a deep friend of his, etc. And he says, I am going to take space and go be by myself to process the emotions of this moment. Right, so sometimes that physical space as a boundary is there because there's danger, and sometimes it's there because I just need to get away from the other voices. I need to get away from the other noise. I need to have a chance to reestablish my own self or my boundaries, to replenish my own energy. All of that is legitimate boundaries. If you have not ever asked for space in your marriage, like, I just need some space, that's not unhealthy. It doesn't mean they hate you. It doesn't mean anything bad. It means they have boundaries, and you should high-five them and then give them space, or an air high-five if they really need a lot of space, right? Like, that's great. I want you to have that. You know, if your kids need space too, if you need that in any relationship, that's a legitimate thing to ask for and a great thing to have for all of those kinds of reasons, right? Even to get away from those when there is an abusive kind of situation, a really controlling place. Space is one of the best things to have, right? So someone else doesn't get to keep speaking their lies into you, their lies about your identity or who you are, right? Just space. I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm not responding to texts and not responding to emails or phone messages, because there's physical space even on those levels so that I can recenter my own boundaries without someone pushing in and attacking them all the time. Time is another boundary that we can have around us. Time off from those relationships. An aspect of physical space, but time is this kind of temporary thing. Ecclesiastes gives us this great balance, right? A time to embrace and a time to do what? Refrain from embracing, right? There's a time to gather and to hold near and a time to scatter and to let go. And so there's a space sometimes where that time allows us, again, a time just to reset our boundaries. Right, we do this with kids all the time, and sometimes we think we outgrow it, right? When a child has relational problems with others or needs discipline, what's one of the first things we do with them? You put them in a what? Yeah, which is exactly what this boundary is, right? You're giving them some space, right, where they don't have to be relationally engaged and they can process and think through those kinds of things. Sometimes we also say, hey, count to 10 before you do that. What is that? That's like time, right? Here's time. 10 seconds, 10 little breaths before I respond back to really consider what are my own thoughts. not someone else's. What choice will I make in this moment so I make a good one? Right? So even as adults, you don't outgrow those things. Put yourself in time out if you need it. Let yourself count to 10 or 100 or even for a day or two. When I do premarital counseling, when I teach couples about communication, I tell them on really intense issues, take 24 hours. Talk about it for a little while. Take 24 hours before you bring that issue up again. It's just time. It's a good boundary to have that allows everybody to own their own thoughts. It allows you to own your own feelings, own your own choices. Time is a great boundary to have. All of these are healthy. Emotional space may be different than physical, but valuable there too, to recognize that sometimes that has to remain. Sometimes we feel guilty about that, right? I forgave you, so therefore then the relationship should be the same as it was before. Not so. Different kinds of things that are going on there. An aspect of boulders and backpacks, right? Backpack is my own forgiveness. I need to offer that to you. Rebuilding the relationship is probably a boulder that requires a lot more time, a lot more engagement in that. Luke says, or Jesus says in Luke, to keep fruit, or John the Baptist actually does, to keep fruit in keeping with repentance. So it's legitimate to say, I've got some emotional space from somebody who's wounded or betrayed me until I can see that repentance is real. Right? That's guarding my own heart so I don't walk back in and get stomped on again. If you have physically attacked me, I get space. I might forgive you, but I get space to figure out, have you changed your actions before I engage with you again? Right? I get that emotional space, maybe physical space along those lines to allow me to see, is repentance really in there? Consequences are another boundary that we have. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if you do not work, you should not what? Eat. It's a really strong statement, but it's a clear statement that your choices bear consequences. We'll dig into this again more next week too. It ties into all the choices we're going to look at and things like that. But that is a really profound truth that would apply to some people in the Springwater Corridor that I know because we've dealt enough with homeless. I've talked to many of them that have solid in their mind a decision that I do not want to work, but I really want you to feed me. But it applies equally to some young adults that live inside of our homes that don't want to work, at least not hard, or not enough to live on their own, but still want you to feed them. Right? So without consequences, boundaries don't exist, right? People walk right over them if there's no consequence. You can yak away all you want. You can talk and talk and talk and talk, but without a real consequence, people don't think there's any real boundary there. And they walk around those things all the time. Your kids will learn that early on with you. If you give a whole lot of words of discipline and no real consequences for them, they'll learn that they can live through any speech you have or any sermon you want to give, and then they can do whatever they want. And they won't learn responsibility because there's no consequences in there, right? If you say over and over again, if you don't stop drinking, I will do this. If you don't stop hitting me, if you don't stop coming home at midnight, I'm going to do this, but never follow through, then nothing ever changes. So follow through. Don't say a consequence you're not willing to do. Right? That's the space and time to think about your actions and your own choices, your own words. But then when you give a consequence, as long as it's legitimate, hold it. No matter what. That's boundaries, and that allows all of us to be in healthy relationships. The final aspect that we have as we look at these boundaries that allows us to hold those boundaries is other people, right? This is not an isolating kind of thing. So there is this really beautiful story in John chapter 8, the beginning of it, where Jesus is approached by the Pharisees. They bring in a woman who is caught in adultery, and they say, hey, Moses says we ought to stone him. What do you think we should do? Tons of boundary stuff going on here. I won't get into all of it for you right now, but what I want you to see the most is that this woman desperately needs boundaries. Right? She's got all these people physically manhandling her, like attacking her on every kind of level of boundaries that she has. And so Jesus uses a whole lot of these things to reinforce the woman's boundaries. There's no real boundary issue for Jesus. He's got his own choices that he makes in there. But Jesus helps to enforce the boundaries around her. He gives space by drawing in the sand, right? He gives time, this boundary that gives there. He gives some physical space by saying, hey, you can do that if you you haven't been with sin your own self, right? If you haven't committed sin on your own, you can go ahead and throw stones at her. So everything Jesus does is says, I recognize that you need boundaries right now. You're really weak and unable to hold your own, so I will enforce them for you. So understand that boundaries are this community thing that we have. We agree together, I want you to have boundaries. You look at your spouse and say, I want you to have good boundaries. You look at your kids, I want you to have good boundaries. You look at us as a church, in your small group, in your family, in your place of work, wherever you are. You look at any other human being, you're like, I want you to have good boundaries. So I will help you to hold those boundaries. I'm going to help you to enforce them. If you miss them, I'll call you to, like, remember, this is a boundary. Don't let that go. We each need others to help us hold that gift. Nobody can hold their boundaries simply on their own. Right? If you say no and somebody ignores that, you need help with somebody who can help reinforce the no. Right? So our engagement on boundaries of others and letting them help support ours is essential to holding those boundaries too. So a ton of things we covered today. We'll reinforce all this in the weeks to come. I want you to get this outline right up here, the areas that fit in my backpack. Again, a lot of teaching. I don't really apologize for it. It's good stuff, but it's there. And then here are the boundaries and legitimate ways we can set boundaries around us. As we finish up our time today, I want you to go back to the list of six areas that are in your backpack. I'm going to do two things with that, so just at a really personal level for you. The first is, as you look at that list of six, and Marie, you can hit to my last question here, right, or last image of just kind of our own identity around us. All right, so here are my boundaries that define who I am. As you look at those lists of six things, are there any of those areas where you can see that your own boundaries are weaker, are temporary, are occasional, or even simply non-existent? Can you look through there and, like, I blame other people for my choices all the time. I let people control my life. I never say no. Like, why is that? Can you see areas where your own boundaries are weaker? Just take a moment right now and look over all six and just kind of process. Do I need help in one of these areas? The final thing I want you to do is just to take those six again and just in a prayer to God, no matter how good or bad your boundaries have been in those areas, can you just go through all six again right now and just reset those boundaries? It's as simple as saying, God, my body is my own. My feelings belong to me. I am responsible for my thoughts. Right? So just go through all six of those things just in prayer alone with God and just say, this is me. This is who I am. Maybe not all pretty, but this is me. Jesus, we thank you that we are unique. We're different than any other person ever made. We have our own being. And we pray, God, that you would teach us to guard our hearts, not so that we can be isolated from others, but so that we can be the very best me that you have made, the very best individual that you have made us to be. So God, we come before you now just with joy that you've given us boundaries, with confidence that you can help us to hold those, and pray that you would build your kingdom within our boundaries, God, and allow us to experience the joy and richness of that.